This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mothers cry cause the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Well, we're back here, boy, I tell you, by the book. This is Ralph Kermit Winrow II, 79 years old, got all my health, honored in the hubs of heck. Out of jail, still looking down at the grass instead of up. And as soon as I get the one line's ability, I am going to raise more H-E-double-L than you could shake a stick at. Because I've got information, and I want it out there. Now, I get the last person was going to do my homepage. I wandered off into the oblivion, but I'll get somebody else. I'll get my homepage up, or I'll do it myself, because I want to have this stuff available, because the Mooney case is about probably 1,600-1,700 pages altogether. With all of the appendixes. One appendix is almost, it's 998 pages long. I timeline out what's going on from the beginning of our republic with the courts and all this, with documents. Read it yourself. Not my stuff. Do not believe what anybody tells you. Trust, but validates. Anyway, it's amazing. So now we have agencies. What do? They make interpretive and housekeeping regulations. That's under 5 U.S.C. 301, departmental rules. What does that say? they hide this a lot of times. You got to go look for it, but it'll end up showing its ugly head. It says 5 U.S.C. 301, Departmental Rules. The head of an executive department or military department may prescribe regulations for the government of his department, comma, the conduct of its employees, comma, the distribution and performance for its business, and the custody, use, and prevention of its records, papers, and property. And they can't withhold giving it to us. So it's for his department, its employees, its business, and its records. Nothing to do with we the people. So we have interpretive regulations, and what are those? They're interpreting the stuff for their own people. They have housekeeping, same thing, under the same authority. We have procedural regulations. That's how they're supposed to proceed. Some of them have separate, like the IRS, they have a separate number at the beginning, 601 point something, for their, that means their procedural stuff. Some of the other ones I don't know without looking. I know they all have procedural regulations. Okay. So we have housekeeping, interpretive, and procedural. None of them have the force and effect of law, which I'll get to in a minute. And then we have something for us ignorant people that file in, that we wise up, called the Chevron deference that the Supreme Court puts their blessing on. They know better. Those people up there are really smart. They didn't get there. I don't care whether they're regardless of what flavor they are. They're not stupid. They're not stupid. So they get around and they call them implementing regulation. So the question becomes, like on the latest Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, how can a guy from Kansas, a farm boy from Kansas, that I do not have a degree in law, in about 10 minutes figure out the Supreme Court of the United States' decision is total smoke? How do I do that? Because of research. I stay at it till I get an answer that I can prove. And then what do they start off in the first part of the quote decision? The IRS implemented what Congress had written. IRS implemented. They don't cite any authority because they can't. It don't exist. They just make, well, you know, it's been accepted. They don't even cite Chevron v. The Chevron deference, which is the courts are now finally starting to, a couple of decisions back off from saying, you know, we really can't do this. I don't know. You know, we might be caught or something. I don't know. Who knows what they're thinking? So that's the first thing. I said, you can't have a court uphold Obamacare based on implementing regulations by the IRS because they got no authority to implement nothing. They can't even implement whether you take the trash out of your office, let alone something like this. And then the next paragraph, well, we had a publication by the IRS. Really? The IRS made a publication and defined something? Oh, I'm so impressed. Wow. And what does that do? Nothing. Neither one of them have no force and effect of law. They're not even, it's garbage. Total garbage. And that's what they used. And everybody on anywhere talking about this? No. Why? Why not? I figured it out. They print why it's garbage. Because we don't know. And the people that are supposed to know won't talk or don't know. There's a bunch of lawyers don't have a clue how the administrative state works. I guarantee you. So now we get to the IRS, and I'm going to get to the vaccination thing here in a minute. The Internal Revenue Service is no different than the mafia doing protection money, and I'm not overstating it at all. It's worse, because they're the, quote, government, and they can put you in jail. They don't come and kill you, but they will put you in jail. They will take your property, because the judges, the lawyers, the Congress are in on it. Now, how could some of these people not know? There's a lot of, I know, don't know, because I've talked to a lot of legislators in Alaska, and they're dumber than a rock. Totally stupid. There's only a few people that's running the show. And the rest of them are just following along because it's a nice job. And, oh, hi there, Senator so-and-so. Oh, you get the best place. Oh, you get a nice retirement. You see, you served one term, so now you get a retirement forever. Oh, that's a good thing. Right. And you don't have to see Alaska's unique because in Alaska, you see, you don't pay into Social Security. You work for the government. You put that money into a separate form, an annuity, and then when you die or whatever, they manage it, and you can put other money in. When you die, that money goes to you or your heir or to your heirs, or you can pull it out. What an amazing idea. And Alaska is the only place that does that. I can't do it. You can't do it. The other states, none of them took it on except Alaska back in 1980. Most people don't know that. How can they get out of Social Security, quote, get out of, and we are mandated to do it? Figure that one out. That's just another one of the things that are illogical. But anyway, getting back to agencies, staying on point with the agencies, we have interpreting regs, housekeeping regs, nonsense, and we have their procedural. They're nonsense for there because they don't, the courts has ruled they don't have to abide by any of them. They're just what we ought to be doing. You know, it's kind of like what we ought to be doing in the rules for the Senate and stuff. We don't have to abide by it, but because we can change the rules whenever we feel like it. Because, you know, it's just kind of like it's to give the illusion that we're doing something right. You can't use the IRS manual. You can't use their publications. You can't use any of this nonsense that any of these agencies put out. So the next step, all their documents, apparently whatever they think, flavor they're doing, general applicability, legal effects, got to be in the Federal Register. If it's not there, you're done. It says so. This is not valid because we don't have notice. And everything there has got to be judicially noticed. That's taken as true with no further evidence. You don't have to look up anything. It's there, you're done. You don't even have to have a copy of the Federal Register. You just cite it. So what's the next step? The only next step that all agencies have, all of them, is what? What's the next step they got to do? Okay, and it's really simple. The Code of Federal Regulations, and by the way, is for the United States of America, not for the United States, because they can't operate within the Constitution, because there's a list of them, their external establishment or external regulatory, there's a whole laundry list. They don't live in the Constitution. And they print it. They're proud of it. But you don't know that, because we aren't told. We're on a need to know, and we really don't need to know. So the next question is, how do I know if I'm looking at a CFR if it has the force and effect of law? There is no way possible. You can exclude it quite easily. Like the IRS says, 26 is the title. CFR, that's Code of Federal Regulations. That's where they compile it like the United States Code. They put all the federal regs. And then they have a number at the front, a part. So like part one of the IRS for subtitle A, or 301, which means it's under 5 USC 301, housekeeping only. So we go with the look at the IRS. We have 26, and then we have space CFR. Then we have space, we have 301, and a period, a point. 6331 is a good one. 6331 is notice of lien, levy, taking your stuff, distraint. So it's 6026 CFR 301.6331. So I go, look, I say, okay, well, the CFRs are just a compilation. They're not positive law. You can't quote them as law. It's nonsense. You have to go down to the area called credits. What am I looking for? What's in the Federal Register? You see, they even put the Federal Register Act twice in the Federal Register because it had to. It's a law of the United States, but then they put it in the Federal Register. So therefore, it's got to be judicially noticed because the whole thing is in the Federal Register. Follow? That's why they did that. Okay? So it's in there twice. The whole thing. So I go down to credits. That's where I go. And I look, and I am testing for one thing under credits. It has to say 553B as in boy, in parenthesis. That's it. The reason why that's important, because Chrysler V. Brown in 1979 said, and that was the purpose of the Administrative Procedures Act, by the way, of 1946, was to make substantive regulations called legislative rules, ones that, quote, have force and effect of law that can reach you and me if we are a citizen of the United States. But, of course, nobody brings up that last part, if. Okay, so now we just search on 553 little b. There has to be two things, a proposed rule and a final rule. They have to propose it, and then we get to comment on it. We can sue them and yada, yada, yada. Then they have to come back with a final rule. They address all the comments, tell us to go to hell, whatever. And then they have D, which is they have 30 days, again, to let us find out about it before it becomes into effect. And then Congress has 6 months to up or down it, which they almost never touch. Congress is overviewing their little slaves down there. Are you screwing them, their people out there? Good. Yay! You betcha. We got them. You'll never find one that's in compliance with 553 little b. I've never seen one yet, and I've probably looked at thousands of them. From ATF to just to satisfy my curiosity to other areas. IRS, absolutely, you will never find one. They admit it in 1954, we're not doing them in a Federal Register. They admit it, we're not going to do those things. It's published in the front of your CFR book on page 3. It publishes a Federal Register and leaves out the last paragraph, which says we're going to do it, the last part of the APA. Basically, leave that paragraph out, but you're on a need to know, and we don't need to know. They tell us what they're doing. But these people are devious. So what's the other question? There's only one other thing they can do. They never do what's called the formal. They never do the formal, which says we're going to do it and do it right, have it right out there in the open. It ain't going to happen. Okay, so what am I looking for? And I used to see this occasionally. I couldn't figure out what to do with it. I found Senate Report 752, 1945. It says everything these guys got to do. It's a 48-page document, and it says you're not supposed to be changing the APA. You're supposed to leave it alone, unless you have a real good reason. But it says, where an agency for good cause fights, what the heck does good cause mean? I don't know. And incorporates the finding and reasons thereof, therefore, for the published rule. See, I didn't know what they were doing there, but I do now. But notice that public procedures are impractical, unnecessary, and contrary to the public interest. Now, what in the holy heck would you be making a that has the force and effect of law? It's got to be in a proposed rule and a final rule. Why would you say that? Why not make it just like Congress? You get around and vote on it, count the votes, signed or vetoed, and you overrule it. What's the deal? It's a con. And it says up here, agencies are given discretion to dispense with this notice and consequently with public proceedings in the case of interpretive rules, statements of general policy, or rules of agency organizations, procedure, and practice. So they don't got to do the formal. So this is the good, this is the thing they don't have to worry about. But anything along those lines, interpretive, statements of general policy, rules of agency organization, procedure, or practice. But they go on to say, this does not mean, however, that the agency should not, where useful to them or helpful to the public, undertake public procedures in connection with such rulemaking. The exemption of situation of emergency or necessity is not an escape clause in that sense for any agency that has discretion to disregard the terms or fact. A true and supportable finding of necessity or emergency must be made and public. And now what there's, this is for anything that has the force and effect of law. So in other words, a good cause, they can state this. Oh, it's impractical, unnecessary, contrary. Or they will not state anything, which you automatically can throw it in the garbage. Or they'll say we're doing notice and comment without the proposed rule and final rule. There's all kinds of variations. There's only two. It either says 553B, we're doing it, proposed and final rule, or proposed final rule and this impractical, unnecessary, and contrary to public interest with the emergency stated. Has to be stated. They never state the emergency because they can't. So you'll never, I've never seen one yet. This is called the informal rulemaking. Never seen one yet. And by the way, this verbiage is supported in the courts. I just didn't know what the heck it meant for a long time. You got to find the needle. Once you find the needle and the explanation, then you can, you know what the needle is you're looking for. So, I said, well, what do these terms mean? What would be impractical? I think that's pretty important. Means a situation in which the due and required execution of the agency function would be unavoidably prevented by its undertaking public rulemaking. Let me read that again. A situation when the due and required execution of the agency would have been unavoidably prevented by undertaking public rulemaking. So I could prevent it if they allowed the public to comment on it. And this is something that's going to go to the force and effect of law? And I could prevent it? This sounds to me like a slave owner talking to his slaves. Unnecessary means it's not something I'm concerned with. Okay, it has to do with dog bushing in Alaska. Well, I'm not really involved with it, but maybe, I don't know. Who cares? Public interest is the third one. Contrary to the public interest. Impractical or unnecessary. It requires that public rulemaking procedure shall not prevent the agency from operating and that, on the other hand, lack of public interest in the making warrants that an agency dispense with public procedure. But it shall not prevent an agency from operating. So in other words, an agency is the enemy of the people, because if they actually had a formal, we would be able to stop them and say, no, we don't want to be slaves to that nonsense. Where's your first effective law? Because you see, agencies can only arrive at what's called force and effect of law by a very limited delegation of power. And that goes for Comrade Biden, too, is the executive orders. He can't make executive orders unless Congress gives a specific delegation to him, Comrade Biden, China Biden. You shall make an executive order on masks. Four, and they can't do it to anybody except citizens of the United States. They don't ever do that. Never do it. I looked at executive orders. Number one, they're laws of the United States. That's not the laws of the United States. That's outside the Constitution. And that's for citizens of the United States, where we volunteer to get a benefit and where we're under the plenary power of Congress. Now, they print this stuff. In the Constitution, Article 3, twice only did they say ordain and establish, at the beginning and in Article 3, because they wanted to make guarantee that we always have courts for our remedies. A peaceful means to settle problems. They put it in Article 3. They define judicial power, which is the third branch, of the United States. Does that exist today? No. Can we prove it? Oh, absolutely, easily. See, in 1948, they changed the name of the District Court of the United States. That's the 1789 Judiciary Act that our founding fathers set up with judicial power of the United States, a constitutional court. In 1948, they put that one in the closet, and we changed the name to United States District Court. Notice that, United States District Court. There we go with them nouns again, using them as adjective, describing a court. A court. And what kind of power? 28 U.S.C. Section 132C says judicial power of a district court. Judicial power of a district court does not say judicial power of the United States. Judicial power is the third branch, or one of the branches, whatever way, it's one of the three branches, is the correct way to say it, of the United States, of the prepositional phrase, object is United States, the, an article single, United States is the object, and it is the name of the government. So it's the judicial power of our government. Judicial power of a district court is what? I didn't find this until the Mooney's case, until the we got up to the final throes in the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, because I've debunked the United States District Court. I had to debunk the federal the Court of Claims. By the way, was a constitutional court from 1953 to 1982. It was a bona fide Article III court, the only one we had. Other than the Supreme. They did away with it in 1982. And then I went into the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. And they said, well, you know, we need to have a national court. When it rules, it's good everywhere on the IRS. They put that in the code, and it lasted 2 years, and they did away with it. But it doesn't say Article 3 in the Act. That's another con. So I've been in all the different flavors of federal courts to debunk each one of those suckers by reading the legislative histories and stuff to figure out, what are you guys doing? Why are you doing? Why are you going to all this nonsense? So anyways, judicial power of a district court. Well, I found two decisions, one in 1960 and one's a 1980 case. And the one said the judge represents the court. The judge represents the court. And it also said it's in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9. Article 1 is legislative courts. And they're tribunals, they call them. They're under the authority of Congress. So the first one says the judge represents the court. Second case said the court has plenary power, or Congress has plenary power over the court. So the judge is representing the court under the plenary power of Congress. So the judge is a puppet of the Congress in a legislative court. It's all rigged. They print it. The Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, because I put it in quotation marks, I've learned, so they can't address the issue in the solution. They said the Moonies were complaining about it, but they couldn't address what they said. We're not going to talk about it. Those cases are old. Those two cases. Since 1948, we have not had a constitutional federal court of the United States. And nobody has brought it up to any appellate court except the Moonies. We brought it up in the Federal Circuit at the last minute because I didn't find it. It's never been in any appellate court that we don't have any constitutional courts. And it's the first time, of course, it's ever been sitting on the Supreme Court. And the 27th of September, we'll find out if the court has the cojones to address it. That's what that actually means. We've been screwed since 1948 and before, back in the day.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, KosherTified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, well, we're back here. And let's see, so we have no regulations that have the force and effect of law. Like I say, it's the first step is all agencies got to do it. If it got anything, and the word is general applicability, legal effect, it's got to be in the Federal Register. So you search on whatever they're doing there, and everything's got to be judicially noticed, just taken as true. Now, the next step, the only other step, is you search in the bottom of the CFR where it says credits and list the Federal Register. Treasury decisions are irrelevant if you're doing the IRS. Anything other than it says something some number, space, FR, and some other number. That's the only thing that has any effect. They will have authority sometime at the bottom, but usually they cite like IRS 7805, which, by the way, is a Part 301 reg. Because only the commissioner is doing it. It's not the Treasury Secretary. Another one of the things little known. But anyways, the state courts, they said back in 1941, they were trying to figure out, what are we going to do with these courts? What are we going to do with them? Because they can't, they don't have any authority. These courts, these constitutional courts, can't deal with regulations. They can't. And in 1941, they were trying to fix, call the final report of the Attorney General's Committee on Administrative Procedure. And they very succinctly stated what the problem was. Oh, I typed in the wrong thing here. I was going to recite it. Okay, and what is the final thing that they can't do? It says right here. In other situations, however, there is no choice under the Constitution is open to Congress. Federal courts created under Article 3 can be authorized only to decide, and it's called cases and controversies. That means there's two people in a pissing match or something. Got to be two. Each one has to have a some benefit or something. To use the constitutional phrase, from the early day, the Supreme Court has regarded this restriction as an important one to be scrupulously observed. Cases and controversies, in quotation marks again, broadly speaking, are matters in which a court can determine with finality the rights of adverse parties by applying the law to the facts as found. Now listen to this. Thus, the whole field of rulemaking, with the exception of judicial procedure, is outside the constitutional competency of the courts. For the rules do not determine the rights of specific litigants, but like statutes, are addressed to people generally. Why? Because all of these things, the Form 1040 and all that, are called implied in law. Your W-4 is included, which, by the way, is constitutional. There's a constitutional way to step out donating. Email me at IRS at Alaska Minute, man. It's right in the instructions. The IRS is saying to us, that's the definition of subject to, the main one, we are offering to you to be obligated to us, the IRS is saying, or all these other agencies, and we have no obligation to you. We want you to be our slave. Would you please come and join us for a benefit or whatever? That's the game. Ken, New York, question or comment?
Question. Some time ago, I was beset by the health department late last year, and I think I called you up about it, and I had asked a question about whether their authority, or so-called authority, how is that traceable back to the Administrative Procedures Act, which is federal, and it is?
All of them are running under the CDC and the FDA nonsense. And what you have to do is whatever they're trying to do, you have to see what they're trying to enforce and stuff. But they're all listing it. They're all listing, and I'm going to get into the nonsense of the CDC next here in the time what I got, because I want to cover that. But they're all covered because they are regulated to get federal monies.
Okay. And in the letter that I'd gotten, they used the phrase force and effect of law. This was a health commissioner. Now, is force and effect of law a term definition?
It is a definition if they apply with the Administrative Procedures Act of 1946. They have to put in a proposed rule, final rule. They have to say they're going to abide by it. And then they got 30 days before it goes into effect. You'll never see one. And I can debunk them real easy. Mm-hmm. All you get is you search on 553 little b, If you find any CFR, go to the Federal Register publication, search on that, and if it's there, they will never comply. And if you got any questions...
And I believe that phrase, force and effect of law, was in quotes. Would that be the way it's used?
That's in quotes, and it comes out of the Chrysler v. Brown holding of 1979, and that's 441 U.S. 281. 441
okay.
U.S. 281.
That's the linkage then.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It's a holding.
Oh, one of
the Supreme
them.
Court. Never been overturned.
Great. Okay. Because the threat was, if you don't comply, they may have been quoting code too, which now we know they're not supposed to do. Is that correct?
No, it's garbage. It's garbage against these regulations. Right. It has nothing with these agencies. It's got nothing to do with them.
Right. And the threat wasn't that they were going to come and arrest me. The threat was, we will, if you don't comply, we will make application to the court. But they didn't say which court, what court. Would that have been family court or some other nonsense court?
I don't know what your issue is, but if you email me...
It had to do with the COVID nonsense, because I tested positive.
Hang up, and I'm going to explain it in the little time I got left, okay?
Sure. Okay, bye. Bye.
Yeah. Here's how it works. And I couldn't believe it. First of all, the tax court, by the way, I just got to say that. Tax court doesn't even have any authority to exist because it's a 301 reg. Notice of deficiencies. So how can you have a tax court if the only thing it applies to is departmental rules? Duh. Nobody brings it up because they talk code. That's the thing they do. Okay, so now what I want to do is get into the COVID-19. Let me bring up, I got to get back here. Just a minute here. I got to get back to the right thing on the thing, because the definitions of all of this nonsense is based on comes out of the CDC. And guess what they didn't do? They didn't even put it in the Federal Register. I couldn't believe this. I said, you got to be kidding me. They did not put it in the Federal Register. And so a representative out of Kentucky, they was on WorldNet Daily, and I called him, and he wouldn't talk to me because I'm not from Kentucky. But I finally found it. Here's what they did. The CDC just said on the basics of vaccinations on their own, did not put it in the Federal Register, because I checked. I checked on just a couple of words in the same sentence or whatever. Not there. Here's what they did. Vaccination pre-2015. It says, injection of a killed or weakened infectious organism in order to prevent the disease. That's what most people think vaccinations is. You take something, you weaken it, and then it's prevent the disease. 2015 to 2021, the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity to the specific. It doesn't say it's going to prevent, to produce immunity. So they're getting wiffly-waffly. We want to prevent it. Then in September of 2021, the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce protection from a specific disease. And that allowed the mRNA, DNA, all this other, because it's not to prevent the disease, it's for protection. Oh, we're going to generate new RNA. We're going to protect you. Oh, you betcha. Sign me up. Killing people. Now, what's even crazier yet, I went into, because I found this in the American Frontline Doctors, B-Crab and others, filed a lawsuit down in Alabama. And I found this thing here to what does, it's 45 CFR, 46, and it's .101. They didn't go that deep. They just said the part 46. Well, I said, okay, this is this. To what does human subject policy apply to? Isn't that a good thing to do? This is under the Department of Health and Human Services. Am I a human subject, and can you screw with me? So I went down to the bottom. There's two Federal Register publications. Only two. What's even amazing at the bottom under the authority, they put it, usually they don't put it out in the open authority, is 5 U.S.C. 301. 5 U.S.C. 301. That means it's departmental regulations only. It has nothing to do with you and me at all. That is their authority for human subjects. And they can't even do anything to their own people. But it gets crazier. This is something I have never seen before, and this is a real good example. The first one is 83 Federal Register, FR 2885. It was done January 22nd, 2018. So I'm going to search on 553, okay, and see what this thing says. And it talks about the regulations for 553. Hold on a minute here. Let me bring it up again. I didn't. That's right. I typed in the wrong number. It says, for good cause, the interim final rule, under Section 553 of the Administrative Procedures Act, a notice of proposed rulemaking is not required. When an agency for good cause finds that notice and public comment thereon are impractical, unnecessary, and contrary to the public interest, there's no emergency cited. Then they go on to say 553B, 3, capital B. They talk about for the same thing on the 30-day notice. But what is really telling, you search on 301, and it says legal authorities. The legal authorities for the Department of Agencies are signatories to this action as follows. By the way, they had been planning this for quite some years because they got them all to agree to this quite a ways back. I think it was under Clinton's era. But I don't want to complicate it. But what do I find? Their only authority is 5 U.S.C. 301. So now we have the CDC that's not in the Federal Register, changing the definitions, which is total smoke. It didn't even smoke. It has no general applicability and legal effect. And that is a confirmed fact because I got the links to where they did it. And I searched the Federal Register and I'm telling you, it ain't there. Then we got this part. They admit the authority, legal authorities. It says here, the legal authorities for the Department of Agencies are signatories to this action are 5 U.S.C. 301. That's it. They can't go beyond their departmental rules. And they can't even make their own people do their own, these shots. Let me list the agencies. Department of Homeland Security. Department of Agriculture, Department of Energy, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, Department of Commerce, Consumer Product Safety Commission, Social Security Administration. Oh, that's a nice one. Agency for International Development, Department of Labor, Department of Defense. Oh, that's a good one for all the people in the veterans and all in the military. Department of Education. Oh, that's good for the schools. Department of Veterans Affairs. That's another good one. Environmental Protection Agency. Department of Health and Human Services. That's a real nasty little burger. National Science Foundation. Department of Transportation. Truck drivers and whatevers. They're all there. It's 301. Why isn't anybody doing this? The CDC's changing the definitions. I keep hearing all these... even on the frank speech, I've had heard it. They just say the CDC changed the definition. You can't. What authority do they have? I got a friend in Florida. So I said, what is the authority? I agree. I used to use that all the time, too. By what authority are you authorized and empowered? What do you got? Give me the law. Give me the regulation. Give me something. The CDC just said the basics for their stuff, and they put it out, and it's not in the Federal Register, so this whole thing is a con beyond a con. The federal, the administrative state is a con. The CDC didn't even put it in the Federal Register. They just said it. Everything to be able to do this mRNA is all in smoke because they didn't want the evidence in the Federal Register judicially noticed. They could come after them. I'm just shocked. How in the holy heck can this get by 300 and some million people with all of these smart people we have out there. I got the web pages. I got the links finally to prove where it came from. And it's not in the Federal Register because I have Westlaw. I search in the CFRs, general in the text, or in the Federal Register itself. It ain't there, Bubba. So it's no general applicability legal effect. It doesn't exist. And then when they Homeland Security puts in to make us think it has application to you and me as human subjects, the only human subject is for its internal use only. Conduct of its business, conduct of its employees, for its records. They print it, folks. Tell me it ain't so. Back in.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Well, I'm back here. There are 706 Part 301 regulations for the IRS. It's all internal housekeeping. Notice the federal tax lien is a 301 reg. To file a 1040 is a 301 reg. Deficiency is a 301 reg. The assessment that they have to have is 301. To take your property, 6331, 301 reg. And this, all of this nonsense of all of these, this biological world, there is no authority for any of it. None. Nobody goes to the root of the tree. When you kill, I used to fight all of these little branches and leaves and, oh, you don't have a proper oath of office. Yeah, I know why. You don't have a civil commission. You never got appointed. I've got it out of Alaska. They say, yeah, we don't have any judges with civil commissions. Why? Is that a problem? That's on the Constitution and statute, but is that a problem? You guys, nobody's objecting. Nobody's brought up there's no constitutional courts. Why? Nobody's brought up there are no constitutional courts of the United States since 1948. 1960 and 1980, two cases brought it up, but nobody has ever done anything with it. Why? Why is it never made an appellate court or the Supreme Court of the 27th? Will they deal with it? Probably not. That don't mean you quit fighting. Bible's got two parts. You either fight or surrender. Lukewarm don't work. And we haven't known the truth. And I have chased my butt down so many rabbit holes that went nowhere. But when you keep doing the same thing over and over, you back up and say, you know what, I thought I knew. Mark Twain had it. That's a problem. What I think I know is so is not. Everything that I do now, I look at every word. I look at their definitions because they're not speaking English out of the dictionary. They're not speaking what we are taught in school. I got the first year law book of lawyers. And don't talk about what I'm talking about. They don't have a clue. I see them just like in that frontline doctor's case. They talk as though regulations are law. They are not law. How do they get to be a law of the United States? We have laws of the United States and laws of the several states. That's it. There's nothing else. They have to go through the administrative state. They have to abide by the Federal Register to tell us what they're doing, general applicability, legal effect. And then they have to pass the APA. And there's only one thing you search for, 553 little b in the Federal Register publication. You'll never find it where it agrees to it. If it says we're not doing it, they never put the emergency in. And if it ain't there, it's garbage. That is the root of the tree to kill all federal agencies. And nobody seems to. There are a few cases I've seen that have nothing to do with the IRS where they brought up something along this and the court has mealy-mouthed it through and ruled in favor of the people that actually brought it up. Nobody's doing it. They print it. I challenge anybody, IRS at AlaskaMinuteman.com, $250 donation, and can be checked or anything now because I've had the government come after me through Walmart. They screwed up Walmart. That's fine. I just went to a bank. To hell with them. There's always a solution. You never surrender. Never. You fight at the bitter end. Our Creator gave us a brain, and we put fear. Fear is 365 times. Fear not in the Bible. Anyway, God willing, we will see you next Sunday. And watch out for the Chinese. Watch out for the government and the federal allies. They're everywhere.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to the